You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
John!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot Route!
I don't. What is Hot Route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Down!
Come on.
Ready, down, set, hut, 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 hut!
Hit me!
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch! Nom, 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 nom.
It's time for the Soonerscoop.com postgame show presented by Eskridge Lexus in Oklahoma City. Eskridge Lexus is the official travel partner of Soonerscoop.com podcasts. Now, here's your road crew. Gary, Eddie, and Bob, wrapping up all the action and reaction from this week's game.
All right, welcome back. It is the Eskridge Lexus post-game podcast, and we are joined by Eddie Radosovich and George Stoya, who are at Chapman Stadium, and they just witnessed the impressive offensive performance by Oklahoma, 66-17. Impressive defensively, too, except for small stretches, but... let's welcome in our guys, Eddie and George, who have been covering the game all day in T-Town. A little homecoming for George. George, how was the homecoming for you?
It was good. Sorry.
If you just would have seen George and the way that he like freaked out looking for the microphone and forgetting that they're strapped to our bodies, it was quite the sight to behold.
I was unprepared. I also am currently trying to still finish up writing my gamer, so I...
That might tell you a little bit about our evening, just as far as Friday night goes, the way that we are laboring through the early, late night evening hours of Tulsa Stadium.
And it's okay because it was an ass kicking today, and it was like, you know, the game or whatever. But yeah, it's been fun. Eddie and I probably had too much fun last night. I took Eddie out on the town. Hit Shady Keys, my favorite bar in Tulsa, piano bar.
It was fun. And, we had a great time.
We had a great time. My dad did cook the steaks really well.
Excellent steak. No, it was great. It was great. Excellent steak. Excellent fellowship with the great Sam Stoya. We appreciated the hospitality over there at the Stoya residence.
I thought my dog was going to kill him.
Nala, I'm a dog whisperer.
Yeah.
And I think everything went okay.
She ended up calming down.
It was a lot of fun, though, and it was a nice little lead-in to what was, as we said, it was an ass-whooping today. And, Kerry, it's gotten to the point now where it's – I think that George hit it right on the head in the post-game YouTube show that we did, and he asked Brent after the game. It's kind of to the point now. It's you're 3-0. You're going up to Cincinnati next week, which is going to be a big game. But at the same time, is this different than a year ago?
By the way, I'm just so concerned if we're recording or not. It's we're recording. I can see it. I promise. We don't have to restart anything. It's just I'm gun shy. I have my own little things going on back here in studio. No, I mean, Dylan Gabriel was fantastic today. I want to say he threw 19 passes before he had an incompletion, and that could have been a pass interference attempt to Andrew Anthony near the corner of the end zone. But his day, just spectacular. 28 of 31. Did have an interception, 421 yards passing, and 5 TDs. And, guys, he could have easily gotten to 500 if he'd wanted to today.
No doubt about it. I mean, it just depended on how much you were going to put the foot on the gas. And, you know, I think that was something that we talked about here throughout the week, just with Jeff Levy, as Wyoming's looking to take the lead on Texas in the second half.
It's not been a good day around college football for a lot of people.
Well, Big 12 is just embarrassing themselves. Oklahoma State's just absolutely – I want to say that I'm shocked, but I'm not shocked to a certain extent.
I'm shocked they got their ass beat. If they would have just lost that game, I think it would have been like – oh, yeah.
South they got Alabama, dominated.
It was only a 7-point spread.
It's unbelievable.
But they got killed. But going back to Dylan Gabriel real quick, he was spectacular today.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was his best game in his career.
That was one of the things that we talked about throughout the week was the fact that, you know, and Jeff talked about it on Monday at the press conference, how conservative they got. And right out of the gate, Kerry, I mean, they were
two bombs.
Downfield. Two bombs down the field. And he has a little bit of a presence about him that it you're starting to feel like this offense can be pretty good, but at the same time, the run game is worrisome. It's concerning that it just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot there.
Yeah, I mean, they start Javonte Barnes today. We'll get some more into that. I do want to hit on, because we have a lot to talk about with emerging young stars today, especially at the receiver position. But first off, I want to talk about Jackson Arnold and his part in the offense right now. And guys, it's just, for me, it's just not working. And you've got to when you put Jackson Arnold into the game as a quarterback and he's just running the offense, he's fantastic. But trying to, I don't know, massage his ego or what you're doing with, you know, the belldozer package is not working for him. And I know nobody was around here when they were on the belldozer, but that's what we call it. So you're at Oklahoma. I'm sorry. It's not working. And it goes along maybe, Eddie, with what you're talking about in the run game. And maybe it's not all on him, but the play calling, you know, they tried to do a pass today out of it. And he fastballed it right into a guy's face mask. There was no nuance on that throw at all near the end zone. I think it was Blake Smith that he threw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball right in his face. I mean, from 5 feet away. He is clearly not comfortable going in there as, you know, a specialist. And you put him in as a quarterback, he looks fantastic. I mean, I think it's time to put an end to this short-lived experiment with Jackson Arnold coming in fourth down packages.
Are they doing it because they don't feel comfortable enough to be able to just turn around and hand the ball to Tawee Walker or whoever? I mean, it just seems like he's the perfect guy that you would want near the goal line, and then all of a sudden you look up and they're running Jackson Arnold into the game. Or are they just trying to get him snaps? It just feels too cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I asked Lebby directly after the game. I don't know if you're over there, Eddie. I basically was just like, are you guys going to keep running this package? And he just gave me a word salad for an answer. He said, I think being able to change some pictures and find ways to create an advantage will be important for that stuff moving forward. I don't know what the hell that means, but I was looking for we're not doing that anymore because it just isn't working at all.
No, it's ugly. And maybe it is a bigger symptom of an offensive line. I mean, guys, Ed Caden Green in the game today. It's obvious Bill Beedenbaugh is not happy and he's trying a lot of other things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that they're looking for an answer at left guard because Savion Byrd has not lived up to what.
And I will say, this was a different situation than a week ago when he got pulled.
Yeah, he got
banged up on one of the extra points. He was on the ground quite a bit in the first quarter. It was really,
but he never came back in.
And then, no, he didn't. Yeah, you're right.
And after the game, Britt said he's fine. So I don't know, like, what the situation. I think
maybe he did get pulled again.
Yeah, but I mean, clearly, I thought it'd be Everett that came in at left guard, and it wasn't. So, and Caden Green's a great player. I don't know. I think they still need to figure. I think the root of the running game issues is the offensive line has not come together yet, and they're just running. And this would be a better question for Josh. I just don't think they're running like schematically a great run game. And I think it was Gabe Eichert who was talking on their podcast about this, you know, a week ago or so. But like, their schemes, they're doing too much. They need to simplify what they're doing. And we tried to blame it all on the running backs, you know, this last week. Well, you know, they need to play Javonte Barnes and Gavin Sawchuk. Well, they played today and they still couldn't run the ball very well. So, I don't know, maybe they need to play Caleb Hicks and Daylon Smothers. I don't know what the answer is, but they need to figure that out. And then I said on the instant reaction show, like, I have no confidence that if they have a fourth and one and they need to pick it up, like, I don't think they can get a yard if they need it,
especially against a good defense.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of that opinion is based on putting Jackson Arnold out there and trying to get a yard when he clearly, you know, he's 6'2", 215. I mean, there's so many examples of him not being able to move the pile. Like, just stop it. And look, you give Tawee Walker those opportunities, we probably feel a little bit differently about short yardage. But to strip those away from Tawee Walker and even Javonte Barnes or Marcus Major, I've never been a fan of Marcus Major on short yardage, but you know, you strip that away from them, and they have for the last two games. The sample size is different now, and it's all leaning toward Jackson Arnold as your power back, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I would love, and I guess there, it's almost kind of one of those things. I would almost accept it more if they were just not being able to run the ball. But it seems like with the Jackson Arnold package, you're trying to do too much when you just need to get the fundamentals down of being able to pick up a yard. But outside of that,
quarterback wise, there's really play calling wise. I mean, it was a good day. I mean, they weren't conservative. Jeff Lebby made up for, you know, what he did last week, I thought. And now he can move forward with Dylan Gabriel and know, you know what, you're going to be able to. And really, the offensive line guys, you know, in pass protection, they hung together pretty well today. It's a different game, and Tulsa's no good, but it looked better even than it did against Arkansas State, I thought.
Yeah. Did you – the stat on Dylan Gabriel today, 90.3% completion percentage, single-game record for OU with a minimum of 25 attempts. So he's just been really efficient. And then –
quietly too.
Yeah. And then the other stat thrown out there today, I just read this to Eddie, second time in program history they had three wide receivers over 100 yards receiving in a single game. Nick Anderson, Jahlil Farouk, and Andrell Anthony, which I need to issue Jahlil Farouk another public apology. He is
Hold on. Are you trying to steal my thunder before I can actually, you know, present this information? I publicly told you, you know, I'm sorry for my Tawie Walker takes, but I mean, you had to know after. I mean, look, you were looking pretty good after he fumbled the opening kickoff.
I know. I was feeling good. I was like, all right, here we go.
And I will say, outside of the fumble, which obviously can't happen, he was great in the return game.
Yes,
they're gonna bust one eventually. I think he. Brent said it after the game that he has to be one of the first wide receivers or first guys in a while that had over 100 yards receiving and over 100 yards in the return game.
105
well.
Yards on kickoff returns. The 62-yarder was the one that he fumbled. That was his longest of the day. But you got to see what I've seen in Jahlil Farouk today, which is a guy that has a burst. You notice, like, on kickoffs, like, he would just kind of jog into the madness. And then when he saw something open up, he would burst into the hole. Like, he has a second gear. And you saw him on deep balls today. He looked, you know, the tackles that he breaks, I mean, we've seen that more and more. He's very physical, much more physical than you give him credit for, even myself. But, like, the way he ran through that tackle for that first touchdown, like, most 90% of receivers would have been tripped up on that play.
Sure.
By the way, do not forget, Eskridge Lexus is the official travel partner of Sooner Scoop. They take care of us on all of our trips. Wanted to take care of us in Tulsa. We said, nope, we got to take care of it. We'll drive our own Lexuses. But yeah, they've got the first ever TX that's coming in, three rows. I know a lot of you guys out there, a lot of families looking for three-row vehicles right now. The all-new GX is coming out as well. Or, you know, stick with the classics. You know, Eddie's got the UX, and I've got the IS350 F-Sport. Just, look, once you drive a Lexus, there's really no going back to, you know, non-luxury. I mean, it is just a great experience, and all, you know, Eddie and I both drive them. I can't drive anything else now. I've just been ruined by driving a Lexus. So if you are interested, look, it's affordable. It's not like out of the stratosphere, super expensive. And if you go in and tell them that you're a Sooner Scoop subscriber, Ed and the boys will take care of you, give you some special deals. But lease is going on right now. I know the 2023 RZ's got lease specials going. So go check them out, Eskridge Lexus, or check them out online, eskridgelexus.com. Check out their inventory. If you're looking for something that they don't have, they will get it for you too. They did that with my car and got a great, great deal and a great car. They're not charging these ridiculous over MSRP prices. What the car costs is what you pay. So you can get a little bit more off being a scooper. So go see Ed and the guys over at Eskridge Lexus. Tell them that you're listening to the Eskridge Lexus post game or that you're on Soonerscoop.com, and they'll give you a special deal.
It was really, really good, and you can see the confidence starting to build for a bunch of those guys.
And, oh, my God, Nick Anderson. I mean, we just have to throw him out there.
I mean, Josh, I think, put it best out on Twitter during the game, and the idea that coming into the season, you thought the running back room was going to be very, very strong, and you had questions about the wide receiver unit. I think it's kind of flipped right now, and maybe that's not a whole lot to do with what the running backs aren't doing, but rather what the wide receivers are doing. And Nick Anderson – with the three touchdowns today, he started to become a little bit of a threat out there on the outside for him.
I mean, look at it this way. I mean, you know, Jahlil Farouk, he's starting to come into form. We knew Andrel Anthony was going to be a difference maker. You feel like Drake Stoops is going to get you, you know, really tough yards around the goal line. He did that today with two touchdowns, almost had a third. And then you start adding in, I mean, the first catch that Jaden Gibson made today, unbelievable. I mean, he looks like a guy that has never dropped a ball in his life. Like, he can't drop a ball. I mean, that's how far he's come from the spring. And then Nick Anderson, my God, I haven't seen somebody, you know, it's been since Hollywood Brown since I've seen somebody that open behind a defense that many times in one game.
He has and I even like I think it was the second touchdown that he had, made a couple nice little moves out in the open field after the catch. That was, it's encouraging. And I think that, you know, offensively, it looks really good right now outside of the run game, which has question marks. But, you know, it's kind of funny, Kerry, that this is the fourth or third game in a row, though, that we're talking offense when I thought the defense at times, they continue to do it. They continue to look like a much improved team on that side of the football.
I thought Danny Stutzman, after about 10 minutes of game action, was going to be the National Defensive Player of the Year this week because, I mean, the pick six that he had, he was flying all over the field. He actually missed a tackle. He actually missed a tackle today, like just right out in the open, just flopped trying to tackle a guy in space. And that was the only time I really saw anything bad. But, you know, you look at the defense guys, and there was that little stretch where the starters were in there, and maybe it's because the offense was scoring so quickly. Maybe they got tired. But you noticed a lot more substitutions coming in even before halftime.
Early.
But the secondary, that was the, if you want to say what position group had the worst day today, it's the secondary, and Reggie Pearson's largely responsible for that.
Yeah, he bit on
the out fake, yeah.
On the fourth down, I think it was. But, yeah.
And Makari Vickers had some really good stuff early, but he was also a guy that lost someone in coverage for the first touchdown.
Did he get burnt on that one touchdown carry?
I don't know. I mean, because Kendall Dolby came in, you know, and he had an interception, and then I don't remember seeing Vickers. And Vickers came back after that bust, but he just, like, slowly disappeared throughout the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think that some of it's, you know, they're running different zone coverages, and you know, Tulsa was able to find some pockets, just like, you know, SMU.
And Kevin Wilson's going to screw with you.
Yeah, sure. He's a great play caller, and they did some nice things. And, you know, we talked about the pass rush. We've been talking about the pass rush every game. It seemed like it struggled again today, but
there was a highlight, though.
Yeah.
There was a highlight. PJ Adebore seems like he's starting to come into his own a little bit, getting a little bit more comfortable out there. We talked to him after the game. You can check out the post-game interviews on Sooner Scoop editorial page. It just seems like he's different. I know that we've said that from day one. He's just a little bit different than everybody else. He moves so damn well for how big he is.
Well, and the highlight for me today, just personally, is because we have Trace Ford on every Thursday on our morning radio show.
How awesome was that?
And he was asked about dropping into coverage this week. I think Spinozzi asked him. And then I asked him, like, what defensive player would you move to offense if you could? And he said, myself, because he's a great tight end, and he can't wait to show us his hands. And for him to get that drop into coverage and get the interception and almost score a touchdown, like, what a day for that guy.
Also, by the way, side note, Cincinnati and Miami, Ohio are going to overtime right
now. Oh, wow. Are we a final in Stillwater yet?
Yeah.
I think it was 33-7, right?
I think the last I saw Gundy was apologizing to the fans. So if that tells you anything about how that thing went tonight.
I mean, guys, I had this argument with my guy Teabag in the mornings. I'm sorry to talk so much about morning stuff, but that's where all my OSU talk comes from. We have a bet on, I think it's either 5 or 6 games over under, I said, at OSU's wins total. The way that they lost so many people and had to redo that roster and brought in guys from Utah Tech and a guy from, Division III receiver, like, that's going to take a toll on you, man. And, I mean, we saw that today with Oklahoma State, not to mention the quarterback issues. But there are a lot of teams in the Big 12. You said it, Eddie. It's a bad day for the Big 12. I don't know what's going on with TCU and Houston, but I don't know how good Colorado is after watching a half of TCU. Chandler Morris, skeptical as a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been rough. And, you know, Texas is now tied with Wyoming as we record this. It's, I mean, it, to be honest with you, it's all there for Oklahoma. They got to continue improving each week. You know, just the way I mentioned this to George after the game, the way that Brent talks about this team, he really likes this team, I think. Like, I think he thinks that they are starting to come together a little bit into form of what could be a team that could compete for a Big 12 title. And I think that when you look at some of the steps that they've made defensively, I mean, we would have been losing our absolute minds a year ago if a defense would have been able to turn the ball over five times. They're just simply making plays that they haven't in the past.
And there's so many different – and we say this all the time, and, you know, it's all the BS with the competitive depth. But, like, it's true. It's true. Yeah. Look how many different guys went out there and made plays.
Five different guys made a big-time turnover today.
Yeah, and they were all great, you know, and guys like Key Lawrence and Danny Stutzman and the improvement they've made since last year. And then you've got, you know, Kendall Dolby makes a nice play on a ball. It was a terrible – decision, but it was a great play by him.
The Fuller kid had a rough night. Yeah, he had a rough afternoon.
God, he was bad. But
well, yeah, I mean, I'd say Kevin Wilson knows who his quarterback is now after that game.
Yeah, yes,
100%.
But like Kip Lewis, they're playing him at Cheetah. You know, Peyton Bowen's out there. I mean, they just have so many more dudes. PJ Adebare,
and
like,
they're doing all this without Desaun McCullough.
Yeah,
out on the field. I was a little bit surprised he didn't play today.
I think they knew they didn't need him. Yeah. And it was a situation.
Cause he
you know what? Here's the TV shot of the day that explains to you what Brent Venables is doing with this defense. I don't know if you guys saw me tweet on the Scoop account about this, but Danny Stutzman has his interception. Everybody's celebrating on the sideline. The camera pans to the sideline, and there's Brent Venables chewing out Kip Lewis because he didn't do something right on that play. And that, maybe it wasn't Stutzman, but somebody got an interception. But Brent's over there more concerned about Kip Lewis messing up his assignment than he was scoring a touchdown.
Gary, it was 59-17 at one point in the end of the third quarter after Oklahoma got that stop. I think it was the same series that PJ had his first career sack, and he lit up Peyton Bowen on the sidelines like it was the damn national championship game. Like, I mean, it just absolutely blew a gasket on it. And I think that that's a positive moving forward.
Well, Brent's,
I mean,
the one that said he has to be more involved with his defense this year, and he clearly is.
Sure.
They just look really good defensively right now. And they're going to give up some plays. That's the nature of college football is you're going to have some busts like they did today. But, you know, I think it was interesting Brent saying after the game, he's like, we have a laundry list of things we have to get better at. And, you know, I thought they made some nice adjustments. You just look how many different bodies they have out there. You just feel good about it. I don't know. And then if, you know, if Dylan Gabriel keeps playing at this level, man, if we want to go back to the offense at all, I mean, he looks like a different player to me. And again, maybe they're going to play a lot better defenses here soon, but if he can play at that level, there's no reason this team shouldn't be able to go win 10 games this year.
And that's where this thing is at now.
Yeah.
Now you have to start going and do it in conference play. Everybody expected you to be here, but it does look like it's maybe turning a corner a little bit.
And I think, you know, a year ago you were telling me, I would love to go back and listen to the post-game pod after Nebraska.
I think me and Kerry, as we're driving out of Lincoln, I think I decided that this team was not only going to win the Big 12 title, they needed to be in college football playoff talking and stuff like that.
And this year they've been so much more impressive, and I think but there's still this hesitancy from us and everybody else because we saw what happened last year, but it does feel like this year, and you guys were around it obviously more than I was, but this year it feels like it's a different group.
Hey, how about in talking about defense? How about Marcus Stripling?
Yeah.
Getting some
runs?
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty good when he got in there.
He was very good. I mean, you noticed him. I mean, that's not something you always say when Marcus Stripling is in the game. And I thought Grayson Halton did some really good things today.
He did. I fall in love with Grayson Halton the more he plays. He's making plays late in games that are out of hand, but at the same time, he's making plays behind the line of scrimmage. And I think that you have to like that.
I'm still waiting. I guess we're nitpicking here, but I'm still waiting on Rondell Bothroyd to have his like coming out moment. Because he's been really solid in the run game. Mm-hmm. Like he does that you don't, you know, notice all the time, but he's really good at setting the edge. But he was the guy I thought was going to lead this team in sacks. And I'm, you know, other than the Arkansas State game, I don't know if he's been that close on some of these. So, I still think there's guys that can kind of have a break. We're only three games into this thing, you know. Like, I think there's still some guys that could have some big – that was a big play for Cincinnati.
A very big play. On 3rd and 12, they convert in overtime. Miami, Ohio's already scored to take the lead 31-24.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
By the way, guys, I want to get back to some defensive stuff too. But I mean, I think this is one thing Sooner fans can kind of revel in a little bit. You look at special teams under Brent Venables so far. You have Gavin Freeman with the punt return for a touchdown that kind of made you think, okay, well, this is a little bit different. You have Peyton Bowen blocking a punt. And I know he wasn't supposed to be doing that, but they were not close, but they were, you know, when they wanted to be, they were pretty close to some punts today. But overall, 631 yards in kickoff returns today. Like, that's, to me, that shows you that they are no longer this team that is just happy to fair catch everything, you know, that gets kicked off. Like, they're being aggressive, and they want special teams to be an advantage for them.
They have playmakers back there too. Yep. Like, they're putting the right guys back there. Like, just Farouk is really good back there.
And look at the guys that are blocking for him. Yeah. I mean, Trace Ford's on the kickoff team.
Yeah,
and he's running full speed ahead. It's like they have some really talented young players within the program right now, and it's very evident. Like, you can see it just out on the field watching a game.
Actually, that's not true at all. I was looking at the wrong stat. They had 631 yards in total yardage on kickoffs today. That wasn't how many return yards they had. But the point still stands.
No, you're right. And I think that it's a big positive. You come out of the non-conference play feeling pretty good about this operation. Outside of, like, if you're really nitpicking stuff, there's some stuff that they need to clean up, obviously. But there is a lot to like in terms of the direction, the trajectory of what this program is right now.
Well, I think it was a good day. It was a good learning day for the secondary, because, like we said, Kevin Wilson is going to throw some stuff at you that you didn't expect. He's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve, you know, just things that he can do to mess with your coverages. I mean, there's a reason he and Brent tried to kill each other in practice all those years. I mean, he's a guy that fights, and he likes to screw with defensive coordinators and, make your coverages vulnerable. And so I think today, even though it's too bad SMU is playing Prairie View A&M, because we're not going to really get a read on them this weekend. But, you know, it's probably a lot more complex than facing anybody else that they'll face or may face, you know, coming up. And I think the secondary knows now, hey, we're not there yet. We might be able to win some one-on-ones, and we have most of them, but, you know, just talking and you know, just knowing that you're vulnerable still, I think, is not always the worst thing to happen to you in a blowout victory.
And I think that there's an understanding too. Brent talked about it after the game. They had leaders a year ago. They have more of them this year. And they have a bunch of those guys that were leaders a year ago that are all back on this team. And I think that there is a sense that, Ethan Downs talked about it this week. Danny talked about it after the game today. They haven't done anything. They haven't really accomplished anything in terms of what they want to do from a team-oriented, goal standpoint. So I think they feel like they're hungry. They're saying all the right things right now, and it's just going to be about making those steps each week, and especially here over the next 2-3 weeks with, you got Texas looming. I think next week, even though Cincinnati's not playing well right now, it's a really big ball game for them to go up on the road for the first time in what will be a hostile atmosphere next week up in Cincinnati. They just have to do it each week. It's like it kind of sucks in a way, because you're not going to make some kind of bold proclamation each week. But at the same time, if you go out and do it, I think you'll be happy where everything stands at the end of the year.
Just got to get to – they got to get to 5-0 before Dallas.
Yeah.
Got it.
You got to walk into the Cotton Bowl undefeated.
And they should watching Cincinnati right now. They should beat Cincinnati by 2 scores, I think, on the road, and then turn around. I don't think Iowa State's any good.
It's going to be a really, really tough test on Oklahoma's offensive line. Like, we're going to find out what that group's made of next week when you go against the Cincinnati defensive line group with the Corleone kid that is extremely good.
By the way, Matt Campbell accosted by a fan today.
I saw that. One of the great videos out on the internet.
Well, not physically, just a fan yelled at him and told him he was on the hot seat. You better get it together.
He like, had to be basically restrained by his team.
Who'd they play today?
They got beat by Ohio.
Ohio.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed Iowa State got beat by Ohio.
Jeez, what a terrible day for the Big 12. I'm guessing BYU.
That's why we were saying. Yeah, that's why we were saying it. I mean, that's probably the highlight, Iowa State losing to Ohio.
Who won today in the Big 12?
OU.
Well, fortunately, SMU and Houston, or TCU and Houston, are playing each other, so one of those has to win.
In Texas, Texas just took the lead on Wyoming, by the way, 17-10 in the fourth. But, I mean, that's still a close game. And Cincinnati's facing a fourth and goal here. But it's there for the taking for Oklahoma. I still think Texas, obviously, Texas is going to be a tough test. Kansas State losing on a 61-yard field goal today was
bananas. Oh, my God. And losing in a fashion where it didn't matter how dumb Eli Drinkwitz was as a coach. Like, he tried to ruin it for him. And their kicker saved his ass. It was supposed to be a 55-yard field goal, and they got they let the clock run out.
Okay. I saw you and Josh talking about that, but I didn't know the context.
It was a massive mess up.
Yeah, and then they had to kick it from 61, and they went ahead and kicked it, and Kansas State had their best athlete ready for a pick six, and it went right in over the goalpost.
He nailed it.
By the way, you were talking about Dylan Gabriel's day. How about the 5 interceptions by the OU defense today? Last time that had happened, I believe, was 2003.
Cincinnati loses. Sorry.
Cincinnati lost?
Yeah, they just lost. Fourth and goal in overtime. They threw a pick.
Wow. No, there are a bunch of firsts. This was the only second game in program history where 3 players compiled more than 100 receiving yards. That was Farouk with 126, Nick Anderson with 120, Andrell Anthony with 112. The other one came against Oklahoma State in 2012 when Jalen Saunders, Justin Brown, and Kenny Stills all had over 100.
Kerry, I hate to break it to you, but I read that stat off earlier.
I thought you read the Dylan Gabriel 90% stat.
Yeah, but I didn't read the wide receiver one with who was the other game.
Okay,
but anyways, it was Mike Halleck that put that out. I think.
Right, right. I'm just looking, but the 5 interceptions was the one I was trying to look up. But I haven't even found it. But I think it was 03.
90 or something. Maybe. I don't know. Barrett Trammell found it pretty quickly during the game.
I can't find it. Nope. Oh, here it is. First game with 5 interceptions since 2003 at Texas Tech.
Oh, 2003.
There you go.
5 INTs, Gentry Williams, Danny Stutzman, Kendall Dolby, Key Lawrence, and Trace Ford.
And it's just plays that they weren't making a year ago. I know that they're easy plays, but Brent talked about it after the game. I mean, they had 8, I think was the number that he threw up there, 8 interceptions that hit players' hands a year ago. They just weren't making those. And you can see how quickly something like that changes a game. The Danny Stutzman pick 6. And
they're in, the biggest thing, too, is it's not just like they're catching the ball. They're in the right position.
Right.
Like Danny Stutzman being in the right position today to make that play. Is he in that position a year ago? Probably not. Like that's the difference. Or Key Lawrence was in great position. Kendall Dolby's in great coverage. Like those are things that I don't know if they're in those positions to even make those plays a year ago. So that's the part that they're playing with a ton of confidence. I think last year it felt at times like they, were running around, not knowing where they're even supposed to be half the time. So that's the part that gives you some confidence that this thing is headed in the right direction.
By the way, Danny Stutzman did lead the team in tackles today with 9. Gentry Williams was 6, who was out a big part of that game because it looked like he got a stinger to me early when he was making a tackle. Reggie Pearson had 5. So did Jaron Kanick. And then Ethan Downs, Trace Ford, and Isaiah Coe all had 4.
Quietly, I think the guys inside on the interior of Oklahoma's defensive line are having really nice seasons, whether it be a Jonah Lulu, whether it be DJ Terry. I think Jordan Kelly's still showing some flashes from time to time.
All those guys. Isaiah Coe showed some stuff today. We mentioned, we already mentioned Grayson Halton.
Yep. Yeah, I think that they've all had really nice seasons, and they're really doing a great job against the run. Like, teams are not able to run the ball against Oklahoma, and that was something that, you know, Ted Roof, going all the way back to that coach's luncheon way back at the beginning of August, that was something that he said it was priority for this team to be better up front. Jacob Lacey's had a nice couple of days as well. So
here's a stat for you that, you know, is, I understand no one's real happy with the run game, but OU did average 4.2 per carry, and Tulsa 1.6.
Wow.
Yeah, they have been incredibly good against the run so far through 3 games on defense. Like, that's probably actually where the biggest difference is. It's like they've just been so good against the run, and again, they're not playing, you know, world beaters out here, but it's
nobody's saying they're Alabama, so yeah, or right. Georgia.
But, you know, it's one of those nitpicky things, but I think that we've seen these defenses in the past years that if they gave up big plays and a team got into the red zone, all of a sudden they were just awful. It was like basically letting them score in a way. And a couple times now in the SMU game, we saw it. We saw it today in the Tulsa game, especially the opening possession of the third quarter, the second half. They bend their back a little bit, and they're able to get off the field, and they're able to force a field goal or a field goal try. So it's going to be a work in progress, but I think that from where it is right now through 3 games, it's been maybe even a little bit better than I thought it was going to be.
And, guys, I think it's going to be an interesting week just now that we know that Cincinnati lost. We know how different Brent Venables was in that SMU week. By the way, yeah. I thought he seemed incredibly relaxed in the postgame tonight, like more so than he has ever probably in a postgame press conference.
No, he was. He was. I think, Gary, that is something that kind of speaks to how much he likes this team and how much – he feels like it's coming together. And when you see all the young guys that are contributing, whether it be early in a game or late in a game and being able to close out something that they've talked about quite a bit in finishing games, whatever the scoreboard may say, it's a positive, because I think in past years you would look up and all of a sudden this turns into a 66-28 type game rather than a 66-17 game. They got better as the game went on.
I think he's relaxed, but he's also like got this sense of like, he's not jumping the gun.
Yeah.
Like he knows that they have still so much to prove. Like, even though he believes that this team's different, because that's what he said, you know, to me, was like he really truly believes this is a different team than a year ago.
Read the quote off that he gave you after the game, because I thought it was a pretty, I'm not like insightful answer by any means, but I think it was a brutally honest kind of assessment of where things are at.
Yeah, he said, "I do think it is different. Yeah, you going to avoid the same result? I don't know. That will be determined by how our guys stay determined and stay committed and stay focused and not get distracted and not get bored with doing the little things over and over and over. Same discipline to our process, how you play at a high level. The improvement that we have to continue to make, the hunger, the leadership, the focus from everybody in the organization will determine that. But I do feel like we've got a better edge. I think we have more maturity. I think we have a better football IQ. I think we have, again, more competitive depth." Take a drink. "And again, hunger, a chip on our shoulder, all those things to perform better than we did a year ago. But every team's different. I'm really excited. I really like this football team, and they're a fun group of guys. They're close with each other. That doesn't always mean that you're going to win, but I do believe that we've got a different level of depth and a different level of overall commitment. Again, we had good leadership last year. We just didn't have enough. I think we've got more guys who are capable of winning and more guys who are capable of leading." I mean, that's just...
Well, with that that just means that this week is going to be hell, because he is not going to let anyone, like, he's given all those compliments. Now he's going to beat them all down because he's probably going to see what's happened to Oklahoma State and what's happened to Texas and what happened to Florida State today. I mean, they were in a real struggle. And Georgia was in a real struggle. They were down big at halftime. Alabama is not looking great still. I mean, Tennessee got throttled by Florida today. So it was... It was a letdown weekend. Everybody talked about, he knows everybody's going to be talking about Cincinnati lost and that they're not as good as people thought they were. And he's going to have to fight against that because the fans are now going to think that this is going to be a cakewalk going to Cincinnati on the road, and it is going to be far from that.
Texas is putting away Wyoming right now, by the way. They're about to go up 24-10. But, yeah, I mean, I think it seems like this team has a good aware. Like, even Danny Stutzman after the game, he's changed so much in terms of he just seems to, like, be very focused. And not to say he wasn't last year, but
Eddie, stop editing video.
Yeah, that's my bad. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get the Levy stuff up. I knew that it was going to come through.
I do think we're about to get kicked out.
You yelled at me on the last YouTube show. I'm yelling at you on this one.
We're good. We're good. I knew that that was happening, and I was just going to hope.
So bad that I know that sound so well.
I know. It was a good day up here, though. I mean, and I thought, you know, it's a small thing, but OU fans showed out, Gary. It was
crazy. I saw your video. I retweeted it, but it was crimson. I mean, there was like, it looked like Tulsa had a little section for the away team.
Yes. I mean, it was that was to be expected. I mean, I don't think anybody didn't expect that. But, I mean, I knew people buying season tickets just to get seats today. So,
tickets. Yeah. I mean, Tulsa's season tickets, I don't know how they do that. I mean, like, people, I'm sure that you don't turn down money, but at the same time, is that a great business practice?
Also, Colorado's losing. What a day for a day in college football that we all thought was going to be kind of boring.
Kind of shit. It's been a good day.
That's
usually what happens.
That's usually what happens.
Jay Norvell.
Hey, man, I am all in on the, what are they, the Rams? I'm all in on the Rams. I think I've reached my max capacity watching game day this morning. I think that Deion Sanders is great for the sport of college football. It's awesome that Colorado is playing relevant football again. I'm completely out on that shit show that is, though. The circus around it.
The thing about it is that's so disingenuous is, you know, he's not there for long.
Right.
It's Deion Deion.
Yeah, and he always has been. And he always will be.
Yeah.
So it's
and I get it. Like, you remember when he came out to like the Under Armour thing? That was when what's his name from Union DB was there, and they were running
Trey Brown
was there, but it was like so cool. I mean, I was even like starstruck a little bit that Deion was out there.
He has an aura about him. There's no doubt about that. It's like I think anybody that grew up in the mid '90s or was watching NFL football at that time. I mean, he's prime time. There's a reason why he has that nickname. It's awesome that Colorado is doing what they're doing, but I've reached a point where I'm getting it shoved down my throat almost every day. And, you know, The Rock being there today, I don't know. It kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Well, I was looking through like the On Three videos the other day, and like every other one has Deion on it. It's like you can tell it's just anything you put with Deion on it, people are going to watch or click on it, and it's pretty obvious that everybody's overselling it right now.
No doubt, no doubt.
I do want to go to a game in Boulder, though. This place
looks beautiful.
The atmosphere looks amazing.
I mean, everything about it looks awesome.
Those were the nastiest fans. Like, they were like Eagles fans, but in college back in the day.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think that they chill.
No, I'd say, you know, coming out of the 90s and stuff, like, their fans, they did the snowball thing where they would throw snowballs at people on the sidelines and might put something inside of them, maybe a rock or two.
Well, now I'm kind of liking the Colorado today, so I might be apologizing for everything that I just said.
But I think that was back in the day. Like, what kind of outlet do you have when you live in such a hippie place? I said hippie, too.
Eddie, you going to drive back to OKC tonight, or do you want to sleep over?
I think that I'm going to head back. I think I'm headed back to Oklahoma City. I need to eat. I haven't eaten all day.
Yeah, and after last night, that's probably not the smartest
idea. I hope you've had some water.
I've had water.
He's had water. I've had plenty of water, but I need some sustenance. I need some food.
Maybe we'll hit maybe we could hit some Whataburger on the way.
Might have to.
There's one right by my house, so before you drop me off.
I'll probably stop and get it on the way into town in Oklahoma City, but we can stop.
Any Coney Islanders stay up late?
No, my mom's got food at home.
No, we're going to get you some Whataburger. You worked hard today.
Have I? I haven't even finished my game story yet.
Yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Well, Sooners win it 66-17. Great day for Dylan Gabriel. Really just a great way to finish off the non-conference slate. You have some things to talk about, especially your secondary. You still got to figure out the offensive line. The running game is still a little bit. Although, guys, I will say this. I thought Javonte Barnes had some of his best runs today. Like,
he'd
physical.
Well when he got loose.
Yeah, 17 yards was his longest run, but I thought he ran through tacklers more today than he normally has.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel bad about him. I will say this, though. I mean, it was late in the game, so it probably doesn't really it doesn't translate, but Dalen Smothers had a couple of runs where he's just like, huh, let's see more of that.
It's interesting. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Like, I love what some of these young players are bringing to the program right now. And, you know, Smothers is kind of along with the rest of them, that it looks good. I think Josh even said it on Twitter. It's kind of funny that, you know, the entire month of August during the preseason, we talked about Josiah Wagner. He's like the only guy outside of that young group that we haven't seen yet.
Is he hurt?
He has to be.
Yeah, he must be. Because, I mean, they played every freaking corner that they had almost today.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't get much injury update, but I did make sure, even though
the Justin Harrington thing.
Yeah, cuz we were told one more question, somebody else asked a question and I was like, we got to know what's going on with Justin Harrington.
Yeah.
But Brent basically said we'll know in a few days. I think it's a situation where he's trying to decide, do I play through it or not? Cuz I don't know, man.
He had a big knee brace on today. He doesn't have the wrap that he had during practice this week. He was dancing around and stuff. I don't know. It's a knee injury.
It's a knee injury, and I would guess, and well, maybe we shouldn't speculate on what it is. But
if you were speculating,
I think he has partially torn something, and he's trying to decide, do I try to play on it, partially torn like he did a week ago? Or do I, you know, go ahead and get the it done surgically, you know?
And I told you guys, to me, that sounds like a meniscus.
Yeah, maybe.
I really don't know. I don't know that it's a knee injury.
I think it's one of those situations where he's trying to decide what's the best route for him in his career. And it sucks because it's like, it is his last year. I guess he could get another medical redshirt.
Yeah.
I did find out. You get hardship. I did find out during the Aaron Rodgers thing that there's actually a social media doctor who breaks down injuries and stuff. I didn't know those kind of people were out there.
I don't know when it happened in between the first and second quarter last week. And for him to still continue to play on it, and I know that he was laboring, but he made the pick to end the game. I was completely blown away that he played through something like that a week ago, but whatever it may be.
But on the way he was banging on the ground and stuff after plays, it was just like,
See, and that, like, hindsight, you look back and you go, did he know that there was something wrong with his knee? Like, was there something moving, laterally that he found throughout the game and it just got worse and worse and worse? Or did he re-injure himself? Kerry, little inside baseball that I'm sure nobody will care about except for us. Brent Venables did his coach's show from Tulsa.
We did it last week. I mean, you noticed that he was still in his clothing, his sideline gear when he did the show last week.
I think it's a situation, and this goes into into everything he's talked about, efficiency. I wonder if, you know, he's doing something on Sundays that he wasn't doing last year.
Right. And I don't know if he's like, you know, depending
on
what Julie's situation is,
he would just not do that show.
Maybe he's just wanting to do some stuff.
Yeah, it's possible he's flying to New Orleans on Sundays. I don't know.
That could definitely be the case. And I like I said, I think there is a part of him that's like, if I didn't have to do this show, I definitely would not.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, it was really funny though, because Hulk, after we got done with the Brent Venables press conference, he's like, all right, everybody needs to get out. And I thought it was weird. And so I went back down because we did our post game interviews with players and Jeff Levy and Ted Roof out on the concourse here at Chapman Stadium. And I went back down there, and Dean and Brent were getting ready to do the damn coaches show. I was like, holy crap, I can't. And the best part about that is I think the team had to wait on him. They're not going to leave the head coach up here.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just kind of weird. It's kind of weird.
That's got to be, I mean, just another inside bit. That's got to be tremendously taxing on the production staff.
Oh my God.
To have to cut up video and show it to them, like, right after the game's over. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know if they had a return monitor, Kerry, to be able to watch, like, whatever highlights they were doing. And maybe it was just a quick hit, and they go back and they do some stuff in post. But, yeah.
Yeah, like, let Teddy and Gabe or somebody come in and break down the game or something.
Yeah.
It's That's weird. Interesting. But, well, and like I said, you know that there's a reason for it. You know, if that's kind of cool if they're doing it that way so he can go see Julie on Sundays. But, that's I'll have to check into that.
Yeah, it's weird. All in all, though, great day in Tulsa. The weather was tremendous today. It was very enjoyable, and I'm ready to get this thing going as Oklahoma enters conference play next week. I think it's kind of exciting here. Now that we see what this thing is through three games, and I think there's a lot of hope that they can be really good.
So no Coney Islander on this trip?
There was not any Coney Islander. I'm sorry.
There is one literally across the street.
Yeah, there's one right across the street. That's the old school one right there.
I don't know if they're open this late. Are they open this
late? I don't
late?
Think they are. It's not a great neighborhood to be open this time. So. All right, guys. I appreciate the work. It is on to Cincinnati. So first real road trip, I guess. This was a road trip, but it was a drive down the turnpike. But next week, you guys get on a plane. You stay at a hotel for a couple of nights. Do the whole deal. It's going to be 11 a.m. kick. So it is. I'm sure Fox was really pissed that they lost because it's their big noon kickoff next week.
Yeah, it's weird. And I saw that they are going to have the entire Big Noon crew there next week for their show. So it's a, you know, Kerry, it's kind of like you said, I think that there's going to be a lot of Oklahoma fans that look at the final outcome in Cincinnati today and go, oh, well, they got beat by Miami, Ohio. This isn't going to be a test. I think this is going to be a very big test as far as kind of what this team is. And it's kind of like it was today, George, and we talked about it on the preview show. If this team really is taking steps and they are who we think that they could be, you go up and you win by a comfortable margin next week.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what the line's going to be on that.
I would say it's going to probably be around
14.
I was going to say 9 or 10.
9, 10, 14, somewhere in there.
Because I think going into today, it was at 7.5 on some
projection. They should win by two scores.
They should go up and handle business. Yeah.
They should, you know, in the fourth quarter, you know, feel comfortable running the clock out down the stretch. You know,
As good as Vegas is, they always have a problem getting lines for Oklahoma. Because
I thought the 27.5 was way too low today. I would have smashed that. I'm sure Eddie did.
Some people did. Yeah. and by the way, if we're going to go really inside, OU was -8 in the second half today.
Really?
So it was a profitable day.
Wow.
Don't gamble, kids. They're at the second half. All right, that's going to do it. We will be back. Don't forget, the guys mentioned they will have the Instant Reaction YouTube show. It's actually already up at youtube.com/SoonerScoop. Go check that out. We'll have our practice report coming up next week as well, along with many, many other things as we continue to add to our YouTube channel. Also, Soonerscoop.com. We do this because we do all of this because we want you guys to be members, subscribe to Sooner Scoop, best community out there on the internet for OU fans, and just go check it out. Soonerscoop.com. Sign up is right there for you. So maybe there's a special promo you can take advantage of. Just go click on the sign up and you'll find out. So thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back again after Cincinnati. And we'll probably have that show up at night and not the next day, even with the travel, because it is an 11 a.m. kickoff. So should be a lot of fun from Cincinnati. Until then, thanks to George. Thanks to Eddie. I'm Kerry Murdoch, and we'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Eskridge Lexus Postgame Podcast.